Thank you, Lord. This is Monday, not Monday, Sunday. Sunday, 1:10:21. We're going to do the teaching first this morning, Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. The title of this is Suffering. I know that's, but suffering. Suffering. It's suffering. You suffer to be in this flesh. You know, to walk in the Spirit and not give into the flesh, it's what causes our suffering. All right, Hebrews 5:8. Are there times that you say, Lord, I want to fulfill your will and do what you call me to do, but on the other side, you just like to just be with you, Lord. Just be with you. Isn't there a scripture, let me ask you, Danny, where it says something about suffering at the time, it's hard, but I don't know how what it says. It was just kind of quickened to me, but I don't know exactly how it's worded. If you can, do you know where that is?
Go ahead and I'll
okay. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And then verse 9 says, in being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So for him to stand in the place of high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he had to learn to obey. Did you find that? Okay, out of the Strong's, the word suffered there means to experience a sensation, usually painful. Now, I've told this before, I'll tell it again. One of the old movies about Jesus, it was Max von Sydow. He was playing Jesus, and here he is in the wilderness, and he's just like this, he's going like this, it's like his teeth are chattering, and he's so hungry, he can't hardly stand it. And the devil's sitting there eating in front of him, trying to tempt him. And you could tell he was just like somebody coming off of drugs or something. That's the way he was acting. His flesh was so recoiling. He was so hungry and he was suffering. I mean, his body was suffering, but he didn't give in. I've often thought, you know, when Satan tempted him with bread, he probably remembered his mother's homemade bread and he could smell it. You know how hot bread out of the oven is? It's just wonderful. That's what I think he smelled. That's what I think, that just that being so hungry. But the Father had told him to fast and he was not to stop until, I guess, the Father said stop. The scripture says it was 40 days. Maybe it was some days shy of that. And in his weakest moment, Satan came to him and tempted him where he was the weakest and the most vulnerable, to try to get him to disobey. And that, you know, He doesn't do it where you're strong. It's where you're, you know. And that's why he was out there. That's why he's being tested. The Holy Spirit led him there. You know, the religious system that we grew up in, it's all about, we're not ever supposed to suffer. If we suffer, there must be something wrong. And I'm thinking, if I could get that across to anybody, the reality of the walk of faith and the life that Jesus walked, that we're to follow in his footsteps. It was made to look like we're just supposed to, everything's supposed to be good, and we're just having to have a hallelujah. Something the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning. He said, the charismatic movement was a revival of the gifts of the Spirit, another Pentecost, if you will, Acts chapter 2, to fill the church, to give the church power to go into the nations. What happened? It caused us to implode. The church became a country club, and we had these meetings where we have our good old shouting time, and the gifts of the Spirit move. And there are gifts of the Spirit that do edify and build up the body of Christ. Prophecy does that. But what was the initial thing? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that was the empowerment that was supposed to do that. And maybe if we had not lost sight of what that was about, we might not be here today. See, God said, take it to the streets, not hole up and have your country club experience and have your, how do I describe it, your ivory castles, your big conglomerations, and everything is inclusive right there. I've heard that. Well, we're building our own this and our own that and on this and on that and this and that and all that, and nobody else can come in here. It's like we're building us a fort. Same thing with the rapture theory. And it is a theory. You know, we just want to get out of this place we ruined. We might as well blame ourselves. We know who the devil is. We know how he acts. And if we haven't used our authority to push him back, then it's our fault, right? Because the Lord gave it to us. It's like having a filthy, nasty house. And you're griping about it. Let's move out of this and get another one. No, we had responsibility. God gave us the house to keep. But, you know, see, it's not, suffering's not fun. In fact, it's the pits. I'll be the first to admit it. It's not fun. But if you look back and you see where you come from and how you've changed and how you've matured and how you know things by the Spirit that you didn't know before. People think I'm just going to hold on to my strength and I'm going to do God's thing. It ain't happening. You're just a vessel that he can pour his glory out of. It's like you're a clay pot or, some vessels are gold. But God uses them to pour him glory out through. And with that territory comes suffering. Why? Because he can't have you getting in the way. We're wanting to see his power and his glory. And we want everything, we want to walk like Jesus walked, see what Jesus saw, do what Jesus did, but we don't realize what he had to go through to get to where he was. Same way with Paul. Oh, but that was Paul. Well, Paul was the normal Christian. Most people say, no, you know, he was way. No, he wasn't. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul knew he was just a Christian just like you. Paul went through a lot of suffering too, didn't he? But he said, in your grace I'm made strong, and in my weakness, Lord, you show yourself strong. He cannot show himself strong if you're strong. That's why Moses had to run. He was run out of Egypt, because It says he was full of power and might in himself. He was raised a prince of Egypt, and he was used to throwing his weight around and being strong. Whatever he gave an order, they did. God couldn't use that. He had to have a shepherd to lead him out. And you see how he was tempered, because when he got to the wilderness and God even wanted to take him out, he said, put out with him. Moses said, then, you know, blot my name out of the book too then. He stood in the gap for the people. He was a shepherd. Yeah. Jesus was born in a stable. The only ones who saw it were the shepherds. In humility. The world was expecting a big show and a kingly birth and all that goes with it. And they didn't recognize him because he didn't come like they thought. It wasn't a big show. It was done in secret, kind of, in a very humble way. Kind of like, you know, the greatest is the servant. Okay. Did you find that?
There's two of them. They don't use the word suffering, though.
What is it?
One of them is 1 Peter 1:6.
Let me look at that. Well, that goes with it, though. This is, go ahead and turn there. 1 Peter 1:6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold, that perishes though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What is the other one?
Hebrews 12:11.
Okay. Now no chastening, that's the one. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So therefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So he's talking about, you know, it's not fun. But it does reap benefits. I mean, we've all talked about it, how we're not in the same people we used to be. You know, we're talking about being on a different timeline. Absolutely. Our thinking processes, our minds are being renewed, put us on a different timeline. A lot of people on a path of destruction today, but when you renew your mind, you change your mind for the better, the scripture says. When you start entering the kingdom of God, that's different. That's definitely a different timeline. And everything forward changes. All right, Hebrews 5:9. That in being made perfect. Perfect there means complete or accomplish. He who has begun a good work in you will fulfill it until the day of the Lord. See? He'll fulfill it in you. That is, if you don't jump out of the fire. Okay, now turn with me to 1 Peter 2. There's quite a few scriptures on the subject. I didn't pick them all. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving you an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." See, the devil glories in the flesh, and that's where he comes at us in our flesh. And that's where the suffering comes in, because we do not want to yield to the flesh. Now, we've been looking at Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the fruit of the Spirit and not walking after the flesh. This is where the suffering comes in, is learning to let go of that and walk in the Spirit. That's why we suffer. Galatians 5:22, we're not going to read all of the fruit of the Spirit, but we'll read that one. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering there means forbearance or fortitude. This is where suffering comes in, reigning in the flesh. We can't do that. It requires endurance, patience, and suffering. Letting go of those fleshly ways, the way you've always done it, and embracing the new. You get flack from it. Your flesh screams, let me have my way. I want my way. It's like a spoiled child at times. Sometimes you just got to speak roughly to your body. I remember Paul saying, I buffet my body to bring it into subjection. Now, bless God, I'm telling you today, you're going to get in line with the Word of God, and that's all there is to it. So just suck it up. And bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless His holy name, instead of griping and complaining. Or singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You know, there's people, you know, everywhere you go, they're just ready to give you an organ recital or tell you about how bad everything is and all they've suffered and all they've been through. That's what they do, go from person to person to person. All right, the vine says this. Long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy. And mercy is used of God. Okay, I want to go to Exodus 34. The teaching's short today, but the prophet's corner's long today, so. This is Exodus 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He was standing with Moses. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children to the third and fourth generations. So we see here God's long suffering. Now we know why He has not just zapped everybody. He's long suffering. He wants everyone to get it. All right, Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See, God's way is to lead people to repentance. That's why the gospel's called or is good news. That's what it means, good news. The gospel, Jesus went about doing good and hitting all that were pressed to the devil, for God was with him. That's the good news. You don't come in gangbusters ready to bust heads. That's not the gospel. Condemnation, telling them they're going to go to hell if they don't get the bribes right. That kind of message does not win anybody to the Lord. In fact, it makes them want to run the other direction. Well, why would I want that? Feeling guilty and full of shame all the time. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation in God. Like I said, it's very, very seldom, even if I feel like I've messed up or done something wrong, that the Lord ever corrects me and says, you did wrong there, I'm ashamed of you. I just don't hear it. It's just like one of our grandkids. We don't go jump on them. Not if we don't have to, man. You know, that's just the way, there's just the way you feel about, that's the way God feels about us. He's not here to jump on us. He's here to love us. And even when we don't seem like we've missed it, God will reward us with something, give us something, bless us with something. That's His way. That's like the prodigal. Gave him to put the ring on the finger, the best robe on, planned a party, killed the fatted calf, and here comes old brother. Well, they wasted all your living with harlots. I've been here all along. You ain't ever given me nothing. Father said, all I've got is yours. See, he didn't have the mentality. He was in that old religious bunch over here that thought, well, I got to earn my way. You know what? There is no shortages with God. I mean, the father didn't care that he'd wasted all of his inheritance on indulgences in the world, doing it the world's way. He didn't care because the father don't have any limits. He don't see it like natural people see it. He doesn't have any limits. Okay, 1 Peter 3:20. Y'all there? Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. God let Noah preach 120 years. There's a dual meaning there, 120 years, get the ark ready. But on the other side of that, God's given us 120 years on the earth. That's 120 jubilees. 120 jubilees times 50 is 6,000 years. So God is long-suffering. You know, you think, well, Lord, why didn't something happen before now? All this carnage and all this stuff that's gone on. And to just have all of this and only 8 people? Only 8 people? I'm willing to say that when the Lord met with Abraham and Abraham said, if there's 10 righteous, will you not destroy the city? I think if he would have said, if there's only 1 righteous, will you spare the city? I believe the Lord would have said yes. But Abraham stopped. That's how much God cares about His creation and He loves His people. And that's why He's so long-suffering. And we are Christ's ambassadors. We are His representatives. So that means we are going to have to be long-suffering. Not I told you so. I'll get into that in the prophet's corner. Okay. Vine says here about patience is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. Is the opposite of despondency and is associated with hope. This all has to do with suffering here. To be patient is pretty, sometimes you really suffer to be patient. Especially when it's wearing thin. Okay, we're going to look at a few more scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. This is more associated with patience, remembering without ceasing your work of faith in labor of love, in patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. All right, let's look at Luke. Luke 18. Starting with verse 1 there. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because of this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her a continual coming she weary me. So he was running out of patience. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I know that we're all ready for swift justice. We're all ready for the swamp to be drained. We're ready to see these criminals behind bars and all of these things. And it will come. It's inevitable. But I was even praying, you know, Lord, if there's any way, give them as many chances as you can that they'd not have to go to a devil's hell. If there's any way. If they've taken the mark, I don't think there's no coming back from that as far as the scriptures say. But, you know, I think those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, they're going to have to pay for what they've done. But why have to pay in the next life if they turn to the Lord? So we've got to have that mindset, not good, they deserved it. No, we don't need to be that way. And when I was telling Dan last night, I said, when I'm giving information about people, I am not judging them. I am giving information. I heard someone say yesterday that in the next 2 weeks anyway, maybe even less than that, that there's going to be a lot of arrest. And he said most of them are already been arrested, but it's just now being released to the public. Well, this morning I saw a post on WeGo that said the Pope had been arrested. Well, we know the Pope was dealt with last March during the COVID because they went to Italy first. So, for human trafficking. So, we're beginning to see these arrests drip out for the public to see. And still, even in that, who's the judge? Jesus, not us, God. He's their daddy. Well, no, the devil, I guess, is. But you know what I'm saying. God is the righteous judge. Okay, let's keep going here. God is the God of second chances. He is the God that uses justice and judgment as a last resort. He gave the children of Israel 10 times. He showed them his glory 10 times in Egypt. Then he gave them 10 chances to receive his goodness. And they still wouldn't listen. Okay, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost so that we can love like God loves that person that's not lovable. It's not our love. Not your human love. How can you love a pedophile? God's love. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. We're coming into a time where people are going to need someone to explain to them what's going on. So we're going to have to be patient with them. And not that, well, I tried to tell you, this is stupid. Do you know what I'm saying? What good is that going to do? So that's okay. That's okay. I'll show you what's going on. Be patient with those who are still asleep, because you were also asleep at one time yourself. Acts 14:22b says, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. It's like being born. You know it has to be painful for that baby. It's real painful for the mother, but you know it has to be painful on that baby to be born. All right, Matthew 11:12 says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This walk is not for wimps. No, it's not for wimps. Okay, we're going to stop there and today.